Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Keeping It Brief. This is a place to discuss and enjoy all aspects of the written brevity. I want to thank both Phil and Pam for their help with this show. Without them, you would have had 2 hours of me having my 19th nervous breakdown. So I'm very grateful for all their help. So let me welcome Pam. Pam, hello, my dear.
Hello, Kate. Good to hear you. How's it going?
Going wonderful now that we're actually started. Before this, I was a bundle of nerves, but I'm feeling calm now.
Oh, I totally get it. I really do. That few minutes before the show, definitely. Well, heck, a few minutes, a half hour. But I thought that was a wonderful intro. I do have to say, though, I think you having your 19th nervous breakdown would have been made for good reality radio. I think we really could have promoted that and gotten a lot of listeners.
You would have heard me going glug, glug, glug with a whiskey bottle for a start. That would have been interesting.
Oh, yeah. There you go. It would have been Kate and Pam's early morning drinking show.
Oh, yes. I love another one, please, Pam. Yeah. Yes, I love another one. I love you. To you, I love you. That's what Scottish people do when they're drunk.
There you go. But you have a great lineup of poetry today to delve into.
Yes, wonderful. I'm looking forward to it. I do love brevities so much. Oh, yes, and I would like to give a shout out to our Naomi. Wishing her all the best and hoping she'll be with us very, very soon. We're missing her, aren't we? We're missing her.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we do. Her sparkling personality. And I'm glad you said something because, yes, we do wish Naomi all the best and hope she's able to get back to us because she is dearly loved and dearly missed.
She is, most certainly. She's a lovely lady. Yes. So that being said, we shall get started. Here we go. We have coming up, first of all, Through the Rain, Wind and Flood by Jetty Primastia. I can't pronounce your name properly, Jackie. I do apologize. And I will start off by reading this one, if no one minds. Oh, look, it's come up. I can't believe it. Okay, there we are. Through the Rain, Wind and Flood. I rode through the heavy rain and merciless wind. Reminiscence of Irgun ran in my mind. Fierce flood encircled me left and right. The torrents killed the pitiful engines. Slowly I moved my dead bike to the side. I stood there musing. What is man before nature's might? Dare we challenge her in a fight? I stood there drenched and shivering, feeling so small and utterly defeated. Now, in the AN, Jetty has written, this was written after I got home from work, riding my motorcycle through heavy rain and flooded streets in Jakarta. Oh my goodness, I used to drive a motorbike. Jetty, so I understand exactly what you mean. Cold, wet, and miserable. But we still love our bikes. That's my comment. Over to you, Pam.
Oh, yes. Wonderful brevity. I really like how this speaks on his personal experience. So I like that he shared a moment of his life with us. And I think anybody who's been out in heavy rains, whether it's on a motorcycle or just walking or riding a regular bike, can relate to this. It had wonderful imagery throughout and really speaks on the idea of what it's like to be in awe and when you realize the true force, the true power of nature. And I really like the questions brought in. What is man before nature's might? Dare we challenge her in a fight? I stood there drenched and shivering, feeling so small and utterly defeated. Powerful lines and very well done.
Yes, that is decidedly true. We forget just exactly how powerful nature can be. And the fact that, I mean, I used to sail a lot in a sailing dinghy. And it's, you know, it can be quite scary if you're out there in the big waves. So I understand entirely. And you get home and just wonderful. Home sweet home. So yes, that was beautifully done. I really enjoyed it. I'm just having a look at the board, Pam. And Miriam was trying to call in. But she says,
says
that I have to wait.
I gave her the number.
I got it.
And that we do have her on, I believe. We have area code 703. You're on the air. Who are we speaking to?
This is Miriam. I got the number. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. Well, good to hear from you, Miriam. Glad you could call in.
Good to be here.
Hello, now, will Miriam. You be able to stay a while?
Oh, yeah. Well, hang on.
Okay.
All right. Very cool.
Well, as you are here, and it's lovely to have you with us, I'm just going to put yours up. This is called Baptism by Fire. So enjoy. And that's your poem up. If you would like to read it to us, please. Okay. Have I lost you?
I'm sorry. Oh, a little bit confused here.
Okay, how can I help?
Hold on, I'll put it in Late Night Poets so you can see it.
Yes.
I don't know if you're in room. There we go. Your poem Surprise is up?
Oh, yeah, mine is Surprise. That's why I was confused. Okay. Surprise! We paint the walls in rose and purple hues, reserving white and fuchsia for their trim. We purchase coverlets with pink rosettes and yellow dogs and ponies on a whim. We decorate the bassinet with lace, arrange pink blankets on the little crib. We choose a salmon carpet for the floor and dainty kittens on each pale pink bib. Then we await with tender hope and joy to hear this shocking sentence. It's a boy!
Oh, beautiful. That's so good. Well done. You read that beautifully. And no, I can only imagine. Ah, dear. Yes, lovely. I really enjoyed that. Beautifully put together. Wonderful flow. I love all the description. The description was divine. And just all the things you bought. Oh, my goodness. You just go out and buy some blue dye and dye everything blue. Oh, lovely. Oh. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. And Pam, your comments, please.
Oh, I really like this. First of all, the rhyme and flow is spot on. I like the twist at the end. It's clever and fun. This actually happened to one of my aunts on my dad's side. Her firstborn, they told her, and of course this was back in the 80s when ultrasounds weren't quite as good. They told her she was going to have a girl, and my cousin came out a boy. It also makes me think about the whole idea that when it comes to children, even when you know their sex by ultrasound and the ultrasound's correct, you know, unexpected things happen. Like me, I have four children, and I always wanted four children, two girls, two boys, you know, and like approximately 2 years apart, because I just had a plan that would be different than the three kids that in my family. And, but my second and third one are like 5 years, 5 years apart. And the third one, he's autistic. The girl I had, the firstborn girl I had is very tomboyish. I never wanted to wear pink bows or anything like that I had planned. Never wanted to wear dresses, you know. And then the same with my other girl. And the interesting thing is we have this preconceived notion. Whether it's because it's what an ultrasound tells us or because what we have, you know, our ideas that we have in our head. But we have this preconceived notion of what it's going to be like when we have our children. And oftentimes, and rightfully so, because they're their own unique individuals, they surprise us. So I thought this was a wonderful and clever write with a great food for thought and very well done.
And thank you for bringing up the hidden agenda in my poem.
Oh, wonderful. I'm glad I could find it.
That's exactly what I was talking about.
Yeah, amazing. That's so well done. Thank you. Yes, I can really understand what it's... I love, you know what it is? I love the fact that I don't read the poetry before I come onto the show. I don't know why, because it's a dangerous thing to do, but I love this where you get surprises like this. You know, it's great. It's the first time, and yeah, I loved it. So thank you again very much. Okay, we'll go on to the next one, and the next one we have. Oh, okay. Please excuse me if my laptop plays up. It's being an absolute horror. The next one is Time Disturbed by A.R. Mundell. And Pam, I wonder if I could ask you to read that for us, please.
I would be very happy to do that. All right, give me just a moment.
Okay, no problem.
Here we go. All right. Evening chorus through the trees, peace disturbed by barking dog, echoes of a learner car come screeching through the tulgey wood. End poem.
Wow, that was lovely. Very well read. Thank you so much. That is a wonderful brevity. Okay, Miriam, would you like to comment on this for us?
Oh, I just read the notes. Tulgey Woods from the Jabberwocky. I would have been looking that up. I really like this. It kind of expecting it to be a rhyme and meter, and then it's got this... plant rhyme at the end that I think works very well with the poem, especially with the word screeching,
yeah.
You know, to give you something expected. And then it's also, a learner car, it's already has a humorous twist to it, at least in my experience, both being stuck behind a learner car and being in a learner car and all the tension and sometimes terror that goes with that. And I have just been learning to ride a mobility scooter, and I've been thinking of getting a T-shirt with the words on the back, student driver. Maybe I should have this poem on the front if I can get permission. It's really good.
It is good, isn't it? So lovely. As you say, the unexpected is always wonderful. And Pam, could I ask you for your thoughts, please?
Yeah, I really like this. I like the reference to the Tulgi Woods from the Jabberwocky. I thought this had a nice flow of, a great flow of imagery. And I like how in only four lines, she shows us all these different noises that disturb the peace of the mind. Like, you know, you're kind of in there in your own little woods and your own little imagination. And all of a sudden, everything just gets disrupted by the barking dog, by the echoes of the student driver trying to keep, you know, hitting the brakes really hard. And, you know, so great write and very well done.
Thank you. Yes, it did, didn't it? I love the fact that it had that car. It's the last thing you expected was a learner car screeching through Tulgi Wood. I thought it was so clever. I love it. Well done. Okay, bear with me because I thought I had one and I probably haven't. See, I get tied up in the poems and I forget to do my job. I do apologize. Here we are. Look, not too long. Right, so Who Are You by Random Scribbler. Okay, I will read this one, if nobody minds too much. And Random Scribbler, I apologize if I stutter, because it happens. It's an age thing, okay? That's my excuse. Okay, Who Are You by Random Scribbler. Heart of mine is an empty paper, your words are my quill pen. Thoughts of you are inkwell, your memory is my lantern. I have dipped the quill of words in the ink of thoughts and written in the papyrus of my heart under the glow of the lamp of reminiscences. You are no longer you. You are not even a silhouette of a soul. You are the reality of my heart. Who are you? You are a melody that is song for my heart. You are a verse that is poetry to my heart. End poem. And Pam, could we have your thoughts on this, please?
I really enjoyed this one. It had a beautiful, gentle touch to it, a wonderful imagery and metaphors. I really felt like it was a heartfelt write on the light of memories, you know, and I really like how it speaks on the idea of love and those cherished memories that really just light up our soul. But that, you know, that there's a sadness in losing someone. You are no longer you. You are not even a silhouette of a soul. You are the reality of my heart. You know, those are powerful lines and beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And Miriam, your thoughts, please.
I love the music in the words. I was surprised to read in the notes that it says that it's a translation, because even in free verse, a translation is often, it's just so hard to do a translation in poetry because you want to translate the meaning the best way you can. And then to make that go with the music of the words can be hard. I think she's done a beautiful job of it here. And is it she?
I think so, yeah.
I guess it doesn't matter. Yes.
Yeah.
She's done a beautiful job. And I mean, I don't have the Hindi to look at, but I'm sure she has got the meaning right since it's her own poem. And I love the meaning too, that the deep affection and reverence that's expressed by, that's expressed in talking about her beloved.
Yes, thank you. That's beautifully put. I quite agree. I think for me, this is just an excellent, excellent write. I envy the lines like, I have dipped the quill of words in the ink of thoughts and written them in the papyrus of my heart under the glow of the lamp of reminiscences. Now, you see, if I had read that way at the beginning, it would have sounded a lot better. And by the way, Miriam, can you understand me okay with my terrible accent?
Oh, yes. I didn't have any trouble with that.
Oh, good, good.
Now,
just
if you read it
sure.
in Hindi, I would have trouble.
If I'd read it in Hindi, so would I. It would have been blah, 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 because I'm terrible at languages. Okay, thank you. And Pam, have you given your thoughts, my dear? See, I sound like I'm with it, but I'm still quivering.
I share my thoughts, yes.
Thank you very much. That's good. So we can now go on to our next one. And the next one we have is Captivating Blues by Stelina. Oh, lovely. Pam, would you like to read this, please?
I would be happy to. All right. And mere blue was not enough to grace your eyes. It had to be the blue of a thousand sighs. Bluebells in all their glory are not arrayed so, nor the soft summer sky in the evening glow. A show incomparable to the sheer delight of a myriad sapphire butterflies in flight. Kingfisher's fluorescent feathers ablaze flicker deep within your enchanting gaze. And the velvet sweep of midnight's gown with spumante stars in which to drown. An artist's palette would be blessed with hues which emerge from within your captivating blues. End poem.
Beautifully read. Thank you so much. And that, oh, look at that picture. Isn't it lovely? Ah. And Miriam, your thoughts on this, please.
I had pink and this poet has blue. And it's very unusual imagery, which I always appreciate. And in particular, Fumante stars. I don't think I have ever read anything like that. It's just so creative. And there are other images in here too. I mean, the bluebells you would expect, and even the sapphire butterflies. But kingfisher's fluorescent feathers ablaze. That's another image that is just really, to me, unheard of, especially the fluorescent. It's so beautiful.
Yes, well, Arstelina is an amazing poet. She really is. I'm quite sad that you didn't get the chance to hear her reading her own work, because she does that. Not that Pam didn't do it absolutely beautifully, but, you know, she had the music behind and everything, so it does add to it. So, yes, I agree with you. She is wonderful. I do enjoy her work so much. And that picture, look at those eyes. My goodness, gorgeous. And Pam, your thoughts, please.
Oh, I thought this was wonderful. And, you know, the thing is I have to agree, Stelina does have such a gifted reading voice. You know, with the tone and making the recordings with the background music, you know, and this is beautiful. It's wonderful rhyme and flow. I like how she finds these different ways to describe blue. And as Miriam was mentioning, in such creative ways, you know, great phrasing. I like that she brings in the kingfisher's fluorescent feathers ablaze, flicker deep within your enchanting gaze. I particularly like the lines because it not only describes the blue of the kingfisher's feathers, but it describes the way this light shines from within this person's eyes, which are like a mirror to their soul. So wonderful, right, and very well done.
Thank you. Yes, I agree with that entirely. Yes, I suppose I should say something, shouldn't I? Just burbling. She has got the knack, the ability, the fabulous words to give us something that is always different, fluid, beautifully backed with her music, and as you say, Pam, with her beautiful voice. So thank you so much for giving us this brevity, Selena. We really enjoyed it. Thank you. Right. Now we shall go on. You have commented. You have to bear with me. I'm sorry, Miriam. I tend to kind of forget where I was when I'm reading people's wonderful poetry. It kind of makes me forget everything. So here we have the next one. And the next one up is A Day in July by Hats. Now, stop for a moment. So I'll just give me a second while I put the poem in. We've got two different boards going here, so we've got to put them in both. That one's in there. Oh, hi, Hats. Hello, my dear. How nice to see you. Okay. Now, I think I will read this one because Hats is here. It's lovely to see her there. I had a day in July. I hope I do it justice. Grass covered with morning dew, blue cornflowers, red poppies, golden butterflies flutter in the breeze, a carpet of pale daisies, and his hairy legs walk towards me, suntanned muscles glowing. Around the meadow, embraced by rose bushes, the sweet smell of honeysuckle, grass, an enamel sheen in the sunlight. Larks, thrushes, and blackbirds sing and chirp their melodies in a distant courtship. And the colorful butterflies flutter from flower to flower, the same as his fingers caress my skin. End poem. Oh, that was lovely. I love the hairy leg walk towards me. At least they're muscly. That's got to be a positive, isn't it, really? Beautifully done, Hats. I really enjoyed that. So delicate and sweet. And all the beautiful flowers and the insects. And of course, your gentleman's caressing fingers. Wonderful end to a beautiful piece of poetry. So, Miriam, your thoughts, please.
I love this very beautiful imagery in this. And as you said, the surprise of the hairy legs. Because it's unusual to see that in a poem. I mean, this is a guy, so it's socially acceptable, which, of course, it should be for anyone. But and I hate to mention this on the air, but I find that particular verse particularly sexy.
Yeah.
One of the early things I noticed about my husband was our second date was a volleyball game, and he was wearing shorts.
So,
so we've also got flies and blackbirds and all sorts of things that kind of contrast in our expectations. So the whole thing, I think, is just really excellent.
Yes, I agree with you totally. It was wonderful. And Pam, you're back, my dear. Did you manage to hear that poetry?
I did not, but unlike some people, I do try to read poetry ahead of time. It's just part of my neurotic personality. I figure we need all types. But, you know, this had amazing imagery and metaphors. I thought it was a beautiful write on the delicate touch of nature and love, and comparing the two of them, you know, I have to agree that with Miriam, that his hairy legs walk towards me, suntanned muscles glowing, is a particularly sexy line. But I like that she doesn't just bring in the imagery, but also the scent, the you know, around the meadows embraced by rose bushes, the sweet smell of honeysuckle. You know, I love that smell, that scent, and, you know, wonderful lines all the way through. And you can just feel the gentleness of the touch of the butterfly to the flower representing the touch of the fingers. You know, so wonderful lines and very well done.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So now we have the next one. The next one we have is Even the Sun Drowns in Night Water by Kiku. And Miriam, would you care to read this for us?
Hang on just a minute. Let me find it here.
Are you okay?
Well, I'm having trouble because all I get is Hats Cannot Wait Summer with a bouncing.
Oh, hold on. There you go. Now it's posted.
There. It's up there. Can you see it now, my dear?
I've got it.
Good.
Even the sun dives into night waters. They sway with a bass in their throat. Music is comforting in the dark. But I want the colored light to wash out the air, to pull it out to sea, a ballad to hold the weight of a sunken stone found at the bottom of a diaphragm. Must it all have meaning, like a memory housing a foreign world, once seen as a child? Singing lark, sing, as if the morning was new. How would it be to boldly open to the sun with a fire of my own? End poem.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And Pam, could we have your thoughts on this one, please?
You know, I always enjoy and appreciate Kiku's writing. She has a great way with imagery and metaphors. I felt like the general message of this write was, to me, the idea of revealing the fire within our spirit, or of wanting to do that, or living that life where we leave an impression. You know, I really like where she says, the air, but I want the colored light to wash out the air, to pull it out to sea, a ballad to hold the weight of a sunken stone. And I found, what I found particularly intriguing was the almost like a question of, must it all have meaning, like a memory housing? You know, I felt like, to me anyways, that there was this idea of, you know, do I have to find a deep meaning in everything? Can't some things just be for pure enjoyment? You know, so wonderful write and very well done.
Thank you. Yes, I agree. Beautifully done. Yes, and Miriam, your thoughts on this one, please.
I particularly like the last verse. I've never thought of it that way. You know, to experience the sunshine, and then to respond to it with a fire of my own. It's excellent. I reacted to the must it all have meaning. I do tend to find meaning in everything, not always a satisfying meaning, but the idea of just letting it be, whatever is there, just letting it be without trying to find meaning in it. That's very beautiful. I did not understand the diaphragm. Is there anybody there who understands the diaphragm?
Oh, yes, found at the bottom of a diaphragm. Yeah. No, I have to say, maybe, no, Pam. Pam is our lady for digging deeply into pieces of poetry for their meanings. So shall we ask her? Yay, why not? Pam.
Oh my gosh. being put on the spot. Well, you know, I do know the diaphragm is the chest, and the sunken stone found at the bottom of a diaphragm. I will say, obviously, I don't know for sure. Kiko could give us the true answer. But to me, I relate that to the heaviness that you feel when you're emotionally hurting. Like that idea that you feel like you can barely take a breath, whether it's because of a broken heart or suffering from depression or whatever it is that you feel so emotionally hurt that you can just physically feel that weight within your chest. That's how I interpret it.
Well,
that makes
done.
Perfect sense to me. I hope that's right.
Yes, I agree too. And you, sorry to put you on the spot.
I'm just glad that I don't get AP points taken away if it's wrong.
Oh my goodness. Oh, if that was the case, I would be down to minus 65 because I always get it wrong. Oh my goodness. Well done. Yes, you're quite right. I wasn't even thinking of the body parts. Well done. Wonderfully. Thank you so much for that. Okay. Have we all mentioned, or we all said, have we?
Yes.
Pam, did you? Yes, thank you. You just keep me right, my dear, because my mind is mumbled, and that's not even a word. Okay, next we have. I put it up already. Oh, dear. See, I get ahead of myself, and I shouldn't do that. I should be patient. Oh, yes, we have it here.
Yes, you put up Stay Warm by Ben Hart.
Yeah, I was in the wrong. Having the two boards can be a little bit distracting. Now, if you don't mind, I'll read this. I don't know how often I've read, but if you don't mind, I'll read this. So this is Ben Hart, Stay Warm. Are you ever coming back from your descent down the staircase of sighs, the liar's wishing well, the bitter black, the depth you only ever rent? And tell me, did you ever find the shores of self? Where in cloud cover and storm are the starlet drowned and the man burning floorboards just to stay warm, no longer new solid ground? Or are you still nowhere bound? So far out, the distance the same, should you ever turn around, should you start climbing again? End poem. Oh, and the picture's called The Wanderer. Right. And Miriam, yeah, your thoughts, please.
I like all the changes of direction in this poem. It really does give a feeling of wandering with the going up and down and back and forth, staircase of size, and beautiful descriptions in between, or descriptions of each of those stages. And there's a philosophical aspect to the poem also.
Yes, thank you. Very well said. And Pam, your thoughts, please.
Yeah, I thought it was wonderful to see Ben inspired to delve into and write a brevity. Wonderful imagery, great use of questions. You don't often see a poem starting with the word and, but it works. And I think it works because of those of us who know Ben know that he often writes longer. And so you feel like this brevity by starting with the word and is a continuation of thoughts. And I thought it was really wonderful imagery and metaphors. I really like this all the way through. But I especially like, and tell me, did you ever find the shores of self wearing cloud cover and storm, all the starlight drowned and the man burning floorboards just to stay warm, no longer new solid ground? The line, the man burning floorboards just to stay warm, no longer new solid ground, you know, speaks in that idea of, to me anyways, of making sacrifices for other people to the point where you lose yourself. And I like how the end line, should you ever turn around, should you start climbing again, is that idea that, you know, should you ever start to reach for your own goals, should you ever start to reach for your own happiness, to find your true self again. You know, I thought this was just a stunning write all the way through. And, you know, I have to say it's absolutely amazing that, you know, Ben can stop at 85 words. I have to give him a hard time about that. But it was a stunning write and very well done.
Oh, yes, I totally agree. And I did love that start. We can always rely on our Ben to give us something a little bit different, which is always intriguing and always so interesting. And I thought it was, I'm sorry, I seem to have started off reading your poem in a very competitive way, as if I was going to go in for a fight with somebody. But that was how the words took me. I wasn't my usual softly spoken self. I was in there going, ha ha, so you're going, are you? So please excuse me if that's not the way I should have read it, but I did enjoy it very, very much. And I did, like Pam has pointed out, the man burning floorboards just to stay warm, no longer knew solid ground. That is so clever. It's just so, oh dear. If you could see me, you would see me going green. Just beautifully done. And thank you so much for sharing that with us, Ben. And next we have, oh, I went over the jump. Just bear with me, people. I should stop talking while I'm trying to find things. That would be the best way. Okay, that's done, yeah. Oh, yes, we'll have. There we are. Sorry for the quietness. I'll be with you in a moment. Well, at least you get a little bit of drama in this program, because you never know what's going to happen next. Oh, dear. Okay, we have The Most Beautiful Thing by Peter Allen. And Pam, would you care to read this for us?
I would be happy to. I arrived like the air blowing through her hair to heal the wounded heart of a little bird who had forgotten how to fly. Now we take flight to where the wind takes us, and we are where time invites us to be, two free spirits undefined by the world, who travel far from earthly cares and woes to live a life filled with love and romance. Chance blew me to her side on a gust of an improbable breeze. We know we will not pass this way again, so we make every moment together the most tender, the most beautiful thing. End poem.
Oh, beautifully read. Thank you so much. That was wonderful. And Miriam, if I could have your thoughts on this poem, please.
I would appreciate it if you would put it on the board and give me a minute to look at it.
I did put it on the board. You might just need to refresh your page.
Okay, I'll just go ahead and comment, and I'll come back to you when you've got it organized, okay? No stress, no stress. Everything is calm. We're having a wonderful time. Right. This hasn't been read yet, has it? No.
Yeah, I just read it, Kate.
Oh, my God. Honestly, this has got to be... I'm desperately unraveling. I do apologize. Ugh, okay.
No worries.
So I'm commenting on it now, right. Yes, I thought that apart from anything, that picture is quite stirring, isn't it? A little bird is being... Whoa. To heal the wounded heart of a little bird. We forgot how to fly. Ah. So we have two spirits equally trying to live. Yeah, equally trying to love and live, and they're finding it really difficult. I thought this is full of angst, but beautifully written. So much in it that you got the breeze and you've got the tender, beautiful thing. Yes, I really thought this was beautifully written, and an awful lot. I mean, I could actually see these two spirits, undefined by the world, who travelled far from their earthly cares and woes. That's just a lovely thought, isn't it? So, yes, I really enjoyed this, Peter, and thank you for sharing. And Pam, your thoughts, please.
Oh, I thought this was absolutely beautiful. I do wish that Peter had been able to make a SoundCloud, because I have such a soft spot for sexy men voices, and we have so many of those in LNP and Brevity Writers. And Peter, with his accent, to me, is definitely one of them. Now, I thought this was a beautiful, heartfelt, and romantic write. I like how there's an emotional quality to it, especially in the end lines where it says, "We know we will not pass this way again. So we make every moment together the most tender, the most beautiful thing." Realization that something is temporary, and that that you need to make the most of each, all the time together. I also really like how this speaks on the healing power of love. You have two people who have been wounded and broken emotionally and spiritually, and together they heal. So wonderful lines all the way through, and very well done.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Beautifully put, as usual. So, Miriam, would you like to comment, please?
Well, the risk in not going first is that somebody else will steal your thunder. I will say I particularly liked Chance blew me to her side on a gust of an improbable breeze. Especially that improbable breeze. It's the sound of it is so beautiful and unusual. And I think I've liked every Carpe Diem poem that I've ever read, and this goes well with the others. Well, especially the part about a really good relationship is healing.
Yes, yes, I agree. Wonderful. Yes, good thought. Thank you very much. And now we shall move on. And I sound like here we are. Our next poem is Rambling Non-Poetic Mind by Hope Soul. I'll just send that. Just give me a moment. There it is. Gone. And once you've seen it, once you've got hold of it, Miriam, would you care to read that for us, please?
Is this the most beautiful thing? Is that where we are?
Rambling Nun by Poetic Mind. By
Hope
Soul. You got it? If you just bear with us, because we're working with two different boards. So I put mine up first, and then when Pam sees it, she puts it on the LMP board. So that's where the slight delay
is. No problem. It's just that I have difficulty reading it when I can't see it.
Of course. No, of course. It would be difficult for anybody. You'd have to make it up as you went along. Instant poetry. Wonderful. I just wanted to let you know that, you know, it wasn't anything you were doing that you couldn't find it. It just takes a little minute or two for us to get them both up. That was all my point was, that it was just a delay in getting it onto the other board.
Sure, but I had to tease you.
No! I can't take teasing. I'm a bundle of nerves, remember? Oh, yeah, it's so clever. Thank you. I like that so much. Okay.
Okay. Rambling Non-Poetic Mind. You say things that can make a heart twist. Is it butterflies? Maybe less. Could be a pain in his chest, behind the breast, up and under the ribs where hurt is burst, a graveyard of words. It tugs at me. It tugs at me like a noose. End poem.
Oh, thank you. Read that beautifully. Excellent. And Pam, if I could ask your thoughts on this poem, please.
Oh, I think this is a wonderful brevity. I like how she causes her lines to go at a slant, giving it a sense of shaping, a sense of movement, you know, strong imagery and metaphors. I like how it speaks to me on the idea of those words from the past that really hurt that stick with us. I particularly, this is one of those rites because it is a brevity and it flows so nicely that it's difficult to separate any one part. But I have to say the lines that stood out to me the most was where it says, maybe less could be a pain in this chest, behind the breast, up and under the ribs, where hurt is buried. You know, wonderful lines and very well done.
Yes, thank you. I agree. Beautifully done. Mm. And Miriam, your thoughts on this piece of poetry, please.
As I was reading it, I felt the mounting tension as the poet describes the pain. And each line makes the pain more vivid. It was almost a relief to get to a graveyard of words. It tugs at me like a noose. And I look back to the beginning of the poem and reread it and understand more clearly that the hurt the poet is talking about is a hurt that's caused by painful words.
Yes.
They can be worse than physical pain.
Yes, they actually can be, because physical pain, your body adjusts to it and a bruise comes up or whatever and it gets better. But those words stay with you. Those words eat at you. And that is the difference between the two. Having had that kind of upbringing where words were the weapons, I can fully appreciate this. And it's beautifully described, the fact that you can feel that pain up and under the ribs. And I love that line, where hurt is birthed. Beautiful, beautiful. I really enjoy that. Thank you, Hope. That was a wonderful piece of poetry. And Pam, your thoughts, please.
Well, I shared my thoughts once, but, you know, if they were so nice, you want to hear them twice. I could repeat myself.
This could be a very interesting show. You'll all be saying everything twice. Just don't worry about it. That's the way it's going to go. And I've actually written it down. I wrote down who'd commented, and I didn't look at it. That may have been my mistake. Oh, my God. Oh, dear. They're going to fire me, I swear. Okay. Next one we have. Here we have, and it's coming up now. It is, oh my goodness me, a surprise for us. It's Infestation by our very own Pam Ray. So I wonder if you would give that a read for us, please.
Oh, I would be happy to. And this was written for a contest where the artwork was an advertisement for syphilis, a place that took care of people with syphilis and promised a cure back in like the Victorian times. So this is Infestation. Infestation of immorality, sickly skin is soup poured from brittle bones, serpents swallowing what once was sublime, searching for the rose with silken petals unfurling. Time and disease knocks pride from marble throne, hope sold for a pretty penny earned by breaking your soul. End poem.
Oh, beautifully read. Thank you so much. That's one deep piece of poetry. Well, I like it a lot. But I can imagine the pain. Miriam, I could have your thoughts on this, please.
Well, there is a kind of a rise and fall in it. It has some very unpleasant, to put it mildly, images in it. But then that's broken by beautiful things like rose with silken petals unfurling. And the silken petals is so lovely because that brings the sensation of feeling the petals as well as seeing the beauty in the petals unfurling. And the slow motion movement. So that's just a really beautiful image there. I wouldn't call it rare, but it's very well stated, the silken petals unfurling. And then you go back to disease. And pretty penny, that could be pretty, but since earned by breaking your soul, goes back to a very sad, hurtful metaphor.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I thought this was so interesting. You're not afraid to come out with what is actually happening to these people who have been promised some kind of cure, and it turns out to be no such thing. And serpent swallowing what once was sublime, searching for the rose with silken petals unfurling. We're all looking for that. We're always looking for that redemption, that better world. And they obviously were hoping for a release from the pain and the disease. Hope sold for a pretty penny earned by breaking your soul. Yeah. It was a horror. Victorian times, they did some weird things, didn't they? Really. Which obviously, you're looking back, you've got 20/20 vision. Of course you have. But a lot of people must have gone through an awful lot of horrors because of their idea. They thought that mental illness was meant you were, you know, caught by the devil or you were whatever you were. But they didn't think it was an illness, and that's, you know, such a shame. So yes, Pam, I loved this. I thought it was really, really interesting. I like out of the norm, and you certainly give us that. It's beautiful. Now, I don't know. Do you want to make a comment? I too, you did talk about it. But would you like to talk about your poem?
Well, you know, I do want to thank you both for your thoughtful comments. I really appreciate them. And yes, Kate, you were right that, you know, I was trying to capture, you know, how these people wanted to get back to their humanity, their normal lives, you know, and how they were suffering from this disease and how, you know, and this has happened throughout history. We've had people even nowadays trying to sell cures to people who want it so badly for themselves or for those they love, you know, and that's where the hope sold for a pretty penny earned by breaking your soul comes in. It's that that desire to be rid of the disease, to be rid of the infliction, only to find that you've lost even more of your humanity, more of yourself by believing in these falsehoods. So thank you very much.
No, our pleasure. Thank you for sharing that with us. It takes me back to maybe 25 years ago. I used to go bottle digging. I used to dig for Victorian bottles in the fields that used to be the rubbish tips for Edinburgh. And you could dig up poison bottles and various things. And it was the most fun. And I came across one that said, it's fabulous. I love the things I found. I found this bottle that said, and I don't know if I can get this correct, Dr. Kilmer's Swamp Root Kidney Cure. And a little green bottle with this embossed in the glass. And I thought, oh my goodness, Dr. Kilmer's Swamp Root Kidney Cure. How cute. And then I found one with the stopper still in it. And there was some brown liquid still in this. I've never opened it.
Still selling that in the 70s. I don't know about now, but I'm very sorry to say that was instigated by a relative of mine.
No.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Not a relative, but yes, a relative. His brother was a real doctor and was absolutely horrified by swamp root, and the guy had a totally absurd clinic. He had people coming for false cures to his clinic.
Oh my, that is, talk about small world. That is just incredible.
I've got
those sitting on my windowsill because I love them so much. They're so unusual. Oh, excellent. I like what you learn. I love
bottles
it.
Bottles are nice.
Bottles are beautiful. I found some beautiful perfume bottles. I found ink pots because obviously they put the ink into little ink pots and chuck them. Wonderful. Great fun. But then they built houses on my fields, so I couldn't go back and dig up anymore. I was so disappointed. But yeah, you got covered in mud. The children loved it as well. Okay, enough of my reminiscences and boring everybody. All right, the next up we have is Worlds Apart, Meet with Love by Jenny the Deep. And Miriam, would you like to read this one for us, please?
Hang on a sec. Tell me the title again.
It is by Jenny the Deep, and it's Worlds Apart, Meet with Love.
I got it. Okay.
Excellent.
Worlds Apart, Meet with Love. Strawberry Shortcake Sky swirls over me on a purple plateauing precipice. Wisteria haze covers sleeping stones. Swinging from the mountaintops is my arms reaching towards you, singing loud for you to hear. My love echoes, longing for a reply. A breezy ringing sound in the wind lets me know that you hear me. Like an avalanche, I slide down to you, sinking in your arms that is the sea of love. End poem.
Thank you. It was beautifully read. And Pam, could I ask for your thoughts on this piece, please?
Oh, this is wonderful. I like the imagery in it. I like the use of alliteration, especially the imagery in the beginning line. Strawberry shortcake sky swirls over me on a purple plateauing precipice. I like the nature imagery and metaphors and how she connects it to love. And, you know, that idea of reaching for love that feels so far away, whether it's because it's emotionally distant or actually a long-distance relationship, and then finally being able to sink into it. You know, wonderful ending lines. I slide down to you, sinking in your arms, that is the sea of love. And I find those intriguing because I think that can be taken as something emotionally beautiful, like completely giving yourself to a person. But it also has this kind of darkness to it, this kind of darkness of you know, being completely, to me anyways, smothered. And, you know, I don't know, like I'm probably thinking wrong, but there's always something to me about, and maybe it's just because I have this deep-rooted fear of drowning, that I always think of any symbolism and metaphors that have to do with going underwater as dark, as suffocating, as losing control, you know. But I think, you know, that can also be a beautiful thing to lose control and completely trust in another person. But wonderful write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Very well said. No, I can understand exactly. I once wrote a poem about don't go into the sea. It's dangerous. There are things there that want to bite you. And there's more in the sea than you think. Stay out. Don't go anywhere where you have to carry your own air. So I appreciate what you're saying. Totally. Yes, I thought this was, that first, as you say, that first stanza is a cracker. Scottish word, by the way, a cracker. Strawberry shortcake sky swirls over me on a purple plateauing precipice. Wisteria haze covers sleeping stones. I love wisteria. Beautiful. And then we have swinging from the mountaintops. Is my arms reaching towards you, singing loud for you to hear? My love echoes longing for a reply. Yes, you would. You desperately need to be paid attention to. and you desperately need to know that your love is reciprocated. And yeah, I can imagine it. Yeah, sinking in your arms, that is a sea of love. Yes, I thought that was the, as you say, alliteration is it. Love too. I enjoyed it. Thank you, Jenny, very much for sharing that with us. And Miriam, your thoughts?
There are elements of danger in the poem. We've got the plateauing precipice and then the longing in the second verse. And then it's got the avalanche and sinking. But it ends with the sea of love. So there's some beautiful imagery in here. There's a sense of danger. And the sea of love has some of each in it, because the sea can be very dangerous, and yet love is what we all long for.
Yes, I agree. I said before, I will say again, love can be so devastating. It's a dangerous thing. When it goes right, wow. When it goes wrong, wow, wow, wow. So I agree. Okay, and we come to our next piece of poetry, which is Sustenance by Fill My Eyes. And if nobody minds, I would like to read this one, please. And Phil, I apologize if I stutter. Sustenance. Love should never be left to wither in the suppressive heat of silence. Lingering there brings certain death, grain wilted then shrouded in the flour of an unbaked bread. Real love weathers sudden storms, lightning bolts and thunder crashing, in all their cleansing glory, releasing pent-up tensions, clearing the air, its downpour nourishing grains soon to be harvested. This is the you and I, true love, well tended, harvested and washed, ground fine and blended with the honey of life, a mutual desire, needed care creates bread, sustenance to feed us along our journey. Love undying, now reflected as stars, lampant against each midnight sky. End poem. Sorry. And Pam, your thoughts, please.
Oh, I think you did, first of all, a wonderful read of that. And I'm so glad that Jean shared something with us. This is a beautiful write, stunning imagery and metaphors. I like how it connects with the idea of how bread nourishes us. And love should be like bread. It should be like that homemade bread, that how, you know, it's everything is harvested and worked for, and it nourishes us. I really like this all the way through, but especially real love weathers sudden storms, lightning bolts and thunder crashes in all their cleansing glory, releasing pent-up tensions, clearing the air, its downpour nourishing grains soon to be harvested. Because, you know, love and life isn't always, you know, just all the joys and light. You know, there are going to be those storms that have to be weathered. And that's the times of testing where you stand together. So wonderful lines and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Beautifully put. And Miriam, your thoughts, please.
Well, I am having trouble with the word caryopsis. I had to look it up, and it seems to be a fruit or a seed.
Oh, yeah, that would make sense. Yeah.
It might be. It does. Well, if people like grind it, it does. I'm not sure. And lambent, I used to know what that means, but I don't remember. Anybody know what that means?
Isn't that sort of loose and lying or loose and easy? I don't know. Pam, you'll know, I'm sure.
What was the word?
Lambent. L-A-M-B-E-N-T. Lambent. I've heard it as well, Miriam.
No clue. Sorry.
I think it's something to do with lambent. It's a quiet, loose kind of feeling. Nothing harsh and loud and whatever. But that, I think that's what it is. But we will look it up while we're doing something else. And
glowing, gleaming, or flickering with a soft radiance.
Ah, there we are. I got soft right. That's cool.
I was going to get that by trying to remember it. Well, reflecting stars lambent against each midnight sky. That makes perfect
yeah.
sense.
It
unlike
does.
Some people, I really enjoy it when somebody encourages me to look up a word that I don't know. I love vocabulary. So that's great. And it does fit so well.
Yeah, right. I love that too. I agree with you entirely. It's lovely to be pushed. Unfortunately, I'm pushed a little bit more than most. But yeah, we all have to learn. Oh,
and then you read the poem again and get more meaning out of it.
Yes, exactly. That's the one thing I need to remember to do is to go back and get more, because it's the trouble with having a show like this and trying to get as many people's poetry out there for them is you do tend to go, and next, and we would love to spend more time, but it's got to be a case of and next, which is but we're doing our best, eh? We're doing
well. We can go back, and we've got the links on the chat board. We can go back and read them, and I often do.
Yes, that's the beauty of
the other thing.
Shows
I would
as well.
This quickly is that my father was a huge fan of Pablo Neruda, and that would have been back in the 1980s. He didn't speak Spanish, but he read it in translation and really loved it.
Mm.
So this poem is inspired by Pablo Neruda.
Well, it was beautiful. And as ever, as you say, Pam, I do wish that we could have more of her poetry, because she can express herself in poems and say things that she wants to say that you probably wouldn't necessarily in real life say. So it's lovely that you can put your feelings and your thoughts out, no matter what they are, because it resonates with everybody, no matter what these substances or these things are that you're talking about. There's always somebody who goes, oh yeah, I know how that feels. So it's great. That's the beauty of poetry, and it's the beauty of these shows. And I mean, Pam works tirelessly. She does so much, and Phil herself fills her whole days with the poetry. So it's lovely to have her work up there. Wonderful. Okay, next one we have is Daffodil by Mystic Muse. Okay, Pam, would you like to read this one, please?
I would be happy to. I saw a daffodil today, my first one of the year. Its lively yellow blossom whispered, spring is almost here. New buds are on the bushes and the grass is turning green. Ostara has awakened, winter seeds to nature's queen. I saw a daffodil today. She stood so proud and bold, a welcome sight to anyone who's weary of the cold. The leaves are so green and welcoming, have robins writing tunes of coming April showers and sweet balmy afternoons. End poem.
Oh, thank you. That was beautifully read. So smooth. Yes, our Mystic Muse. Never fails to delight. And Miriam, your thoughts on this, please.
Well, first of all, the rhyme and meter are perfect, and that's something I admire. Rarely achieve it myself, but I admire it in other poets. And this would be, I think, a perfect poem to include in a book of children's poems, and even for children to recite. It's so simple and so positive, and it gives the idea of observing and appreciating nature.
Yes, I agree with you. That's very true. It just seems to buzz along, doesn't it? It's so cool. I really enjoyed it. And Pam, your thoughts, please.
Oh, I have to agree. As far as the rhyme and meter, it is perfectly spot on. I like this one. It's not only I have to agree with Miriam that it would make a wonderful children's poem, but I think it's a poem for all ages. You know, there's some poems that I believe personally will withstand the test of time. And this one could be put in a book of poetry and people will appreciate it, you know, hundreds of years from now. I really like that he brings in the German goddess Ostara, the goddess of spring and fertility. I thought that was a nice touch. This wonderful personification of spring, wonderful personification of the daffodil. And yes, to many of us, those early spring flowers, such as the daffodil, are that first sign that, you know, that blessing that really allows us to feel like winter is finally over. I really do like this all the way through, but especially that second and third stanza really spoke to me. So beautifully written and very well done.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, I agree with it. He has such an amazing talent. And again, because he does it so well, you don't actually notice. You don't notice the rhymes or the, you know, it just flows so beautifully. It's only afterwards you think, oh, yes, that was well done. And it is very well done. I'm really
that
sad.
On the rhymes. Before I said they were perfect because it did flow so well.
Yeah, exactly. That's the beauty of it. I'm very sorry that he's changed his handle because I miss saying, damn it, Dave, you did it again. So I'm going to say it once and that'll be it. I won't say it again. But yes, beautifully done. I really enjoyed it. I loved that first one. First stanza is beautiful. But my favorite, I think, has got to be new buds are on the bushes and the grass is turning green. Ostara has awakened winter seeds to nature's queen. Beautiful, beautiful. So thank you so much for sharing that with us, Mystic Muse. We really enjoyed it. All right. The next one up we have is Logwoods by River Blue. And oh, I've lost track of who's reading what. I do apologize. I just read that one. That's cool. So, Miriam, would you like to read this one, please?
Sure. Logwoods. Baptist
yep.
hymns echo in the breezeway where chairs leaned and the eyes blinked in slumber after the men returned from the planting fields. Fragrance of Mama's supper was the hallmark of home. Gentle wind blew firefly sparks from the hearth up and away to the logwoods. They were smaller then and required less. They littered the land with only necessities. Nature was the only thing grand. End poem.
Oh, thank you. That was lovely. It was beautifully read. Yes. Oh, look at those trees. I do love trees. I'm a hugger of trees. Whenever I have the opportunity, I'm the loony who hugs the trees. So you can tell I'm weird. And Pam, your thoughts on this piece of poetry, please. Are you mutating, my dear? Oh, has she dropped? I have no way of knowing, I'm afraid. Miriam, I'll make my comment and then we'll see if Pam's back. Let me just check. Okay, what we have here is something that is just a wonderful remembrance of things past. Fragrance of Mama's supper was the hallmark of home. Yeah, no matter what, you always thought your mother's food was wonderful, didn't you? Yeah, which is lovely.
Grew up and thought, oh, that was really bad. but we thought she was a poor cook at the time.
Exactly. I was just going to say that. I thought I better not. But when you get older and you go out and enjoy, you know, restaurants and things, you think, oh, maybe not so much. So but I didn't. Yes, exactly. That is the way it is. Food is wonderful, but anyway. They were smaller and required less. They littered the land with only necessities. Yep, I thought this was beautifully written. Nature was the only thing grand. It sounds a little bit as though it wasn't the easiest of lives, perhaps. But then if you're working on the land or you know, in the woods as a woodman or whatever, it's not easy. It's never been an easy job at all. And the problem with that is, of course, people get older and the work becomes harder. So I think this was a lovely reminiscence, really, really lovely. I love the Baptist hymn's echo in the breezeway where change leaned and eyes blinked in slumber after the men returned from the planting field. They weren't interested in the hymns. They just wanted to get to sleep. Poor guys. Oh, dear. Pam, are you back, my dear? Please say you're back.
I am, yes. And I thought this was an absolutely stunning write. I was glad to see that River Blue wasn't inspired. This had a real nostalgic feel to it, taking us back to simpler times when we appreciated the small things in life. And I liked that ending line, nature was the only thing grand. You know, that idea of you know, the overwhelming beauty and power of nature. I also liked the fragrance of Mama's Supper was the hallmark of home. You know, I thought that was a wonderful line, really beautiful all the way through. And there's a certain spirituality to it, not only in the hymns echoed, but the idea of family spending time together and connecting with nature. So beautiful write and very well done.
Thank you, my dear. That was a lovely point of view. I like that a lot. Now we have There Once Was a Time by Ruth M. Martz. What a fabulous name. And I will read this one, and here we go. There Once Was a Time. This road I travel looks to be smooth. Who knows what hides inside the peaceful facade? The car I drive is a wreck. If it breaks down, who could I call? My telephone is just a throwaway. The battery just died. Could I hide deep in the seemingly quiet countryside? I doubt it. Chilling banjo country, it's unsafe. No longer people say, can I help? Seems we're alone in this world, doing the best we can. End poem. Wow. So cool. Aunt Miriam, your thoughts on this, please.
Well, I guess I'll just say that I hear this attitude from many people about, and people are just not as helpful as they used to be. They tend to be rude and pushy. And I must just live a charmed life because people are so kind to me, people that I don't know. And I really, really feel sorry for people who see danger everywhere and just don't expect people to help them out. I don't mean to be criticizing them. I'm just talking about the contrast between my experience and theirs. And this poet is expressing his experience really, really well. I can feel what the poet is feeling. And I hope that life will get better for Ruth.
I agree. This is the dichotomy we have. I also have had experiences of people who have been incredibly nice. I went on my 60th birthday. I was taken to Paris, and it was just before I had a spinal operation, so I could barely walk. And the people could not have been sweeter or nicer, ushered forward, wherever we were, dealt with first, and big long queue at the supermarket, and I was ushered forward. A bit embarrassing, but so lovely. So I take your point, but also there's the other side of the coin. There's the fear now. I have never been frightened of anything in my life. I could deal with anybody or anything. But even now I'm beginning to think, there's a gang of people in front of me, how safe is it to walk past them? It's a sad thing. It truly is a sad thing. And I have to say I blame our technology and the horrible video games that children seem to find so amusing. It desensitizes people. Sitting watching the news while you're having your pizza or whatever, where people are suffering, and it's just another program to them. It does desensitize, and that doesn't help. So, until these people need the kindness of strangers, they will not appreciate it. And we don't wish that on anybody, do we? Yes, we do. So,
right.
Yes, I totally agree with you there. I understand your point entirely. And Pam, your thoughts, please.
Oh, I thought this was a wonderful write by Ruth. And I understand what both of you are saying. And I understand what Ruth is saying because, you know, me personally, I've experienced both. I've experienced the kindness of strangers, but I also have experienced, you know, people who are rude and, you know, judgmental and, you know, don't bother to stop to help, you know. And it's a sad thing. It does happen. And it does make you less trusting of the world around you. I really like how the first lines work well for a metaphor. This road I travel looks to be smooth. Who knows what hides inside the peaceful facade? I feel like that peaceful facade is the journey of life, but it's also how oftentimes we'll see people and judge them by their outside exterior, thinking, you know, like, well, that looks like a nice person, and then find out otherwise. I did feel like she started to go particularly dark with this, which was, you know, creative and an interesting twist. You know, when she says, deep in the seemingly quiet countryside, I doubt it. Dueling banjo country. It's unsafe. All of a sudden, I thought of the movie The Hills Have Eyes with the killer family of inbreds. You know, like you think of that whole idea of the horror movies with the inbred rednecks who live in a cabin. You know, and it just all of a sudden takes on this horror movie twist. There's actually, I don't know if I was listening to a podcast the other day that was that back in, was it the 1800s or something like that? Anyways, there was this Scottish family that lived in a cave, and they were cannibals, and they had lived in the cave for decades. Interbreeding, and it's just a, you know, obviously I'm not an example of all Scottish people, thankfully, but it's just a really horrifying story, and yeah, I definitely got that whole horror movie vibe in those lines about the dueling banjo and the being unsafe that really added atmosphere to it. So excellent write and very well done.
I really appreciate that. It's wonderful. We don't talk to that side of the family anymore, Pam. We've disowned them. Oh, my. Yes, I thought that you're right. It does. I love the way it goes into the deep side of the dueling banjos country. I hated that. Ugh. Every time I think of that movie, I just squirm. But I can see how it can happen. So easily. The one thing I was a biker. I rode motorbikes for years. And the one thing about bikers are they'll never leave you stranded. If they find you are stuck, they'll stop and help, which is great. But they're all 6'5", overweight, with huge beards, and they look like they're going to pull you apart in half. They're so scary, but they're lovely people. So you can't judge. You really can't judge. That's the truth of it. I agree with you there. Beautifully done, though. I really enjoyed that. Yeah.
You know, I have to agree with you about motorcycles. You know, my son, my autistic son, who's nonverbal, loves motorcycles, semi-trucks, anything with wheels. And I never met, you know, a biker. Like you said, those big, burly bearded bikers who look scary that didn't smile at him, wave at him, you know, even if they were stopped, shake his hand, you know, and just offer that little bit of a smile and encouragement, which, you know, always touched my heart and is a great example of kindness from strangers.
It really is. They are a wonderful little breed. I like them. I remember at one point, I have no sense of directions. I get lost all the time. And I was out trying to find, on my bike, trying to find a garden center. And I stopped. And I drove a bike and sidecar. So I stood up on the seat. And I'm looking to try and see where I was to go next. And this big biker comes screaming up beside me. Are you all right, hen? I said, yeah, I'm just lost. Don't worry about it. It's the story of my life. I'll be fine. And off he went again. So, it is lovely. Just nice people are nice people. So, blimey, we're getting some interesting things today. This is such a great outpouring of poetry. I'm really enjoying it. So, next we have Organic by Barbara G. Miriam, would you like to read this for us, please?
Sure. Organic. Drawn to verdigris hues in sea and sky, she invokes salt breezes to untangle her hair and unloose yearnings like untethered vines. End poem.
Oh, thank you. That was beautifully read. That was lovely. Ah, and that picture is sublime, isn't it? And Pam, your thoughts, please.
Oh, I thought this was a beautiful brevity. I really like how it feels like the idea to me of getting rid of those things that weigh us down, that hold us down, and you know, really escaping from all the pressures of life. I like how it connects with nature, you know, and beautiful right all the way through. And, you know, I really like all the lines, but the ones that really spoke to me is she invokes salt breezes to untangle her hair. You really feel the magic within those lines and how healing those salt breezes are. So wonderful, right, and very well done.
Thank you. Yes, it was beautifully done. And Miriam, your thoughts, please.
Well, first of all, I have seen green in the sky, but I've never seen verdigris hues. The green that I've always seen is at sunset, and it's closer to the green that you would see in the rainbow. So now I'm going to have to keep looking when the sky is darker and see if I can find those colors. In the poem, the word works very well, and I can see that Barbara was looking at that picture, and those were the colors she saw in the sky in the image. And I just love the untangling her hair and unloose yearnings like untethered vines. That's a very beautiful image, and I wish the wind would do that for my hair.
Me and you both, Miriam. The wind does not like my hair.
No, it's just the opposite. This sounds like a really lovely experience, and then it's got and unloose yearnings within those related images that give it the psychological oomph.
Okay, thank you very much. That was beautifully put. I hear somebody coughing. Is everybody all right, or is there somebody on the line that we don't know?
Let me check.
Okay.
Nope, just us three turkeys.
Okay, babe, no problem. Yes, I also thought this was beautifully written, that picture. That you see the little red shoes? She's got her shoes off. She's just being very comfortable. That's so cool.
I've been looking for her, and I can see that it's cropped from a larger image, but everybody has just been using the image, and nobody has given credit to the person who made it alas.
Mm. Yeah, because that is really, really beautiful. And yes, untangling the salt breezes to untangle her hair. It does sound particularly lovely, doesn't it? I have pictures of little fairies buzzing about her head going, come on, you pull that side, I'll pull this side. Let's get it untangled. Oh, dear, so cool. So I thought it was beautifully written. I really enjoyed it so much. And thank you for sharing that with us, Barbara. It was a delight. Mm. Organic, so cool. Right, next we have, because we're running out of poetry, I've been forced to put one of mine on. I do apologize. But that's the way it goes, folks. So the next one up we have is A Breath of Earth by Weaver of Dreams, and I will probably read it. I would like Pam to read it, but I'll read it. Okay, A Breath of Earth. Wind flows as old as the earth it skims over, wafting through grass, flirting with leaves, tossing salt spray aloft. There is a sense, however, that the vigor once in abundance may have slowed. The wild gust of yore that filled sails, moved dense wooden ships across oceans, now seems weak, diminished. Wood is being used faster than ever before. Huge wounds are being inflicted on our earth. But mankind will not heed the warning signs. Have we cut and mutilated our wondrous world so much that there are no longer trees enough to breathe in as we breathe out? End poem. And Pam, your thoughts, please.
Oh, first of all, wonderful read there. I always prefer that your voice to mine, and especially when it comes to your own poetry. You know, I always enjoy and appreciate rites that speak up for nature and remind us of the consequences of, you know, how mankind mistreats her. I thought this had wonderful imagery. It was a really thoughtful rite on the wounds that mankind inflicts upon Mother Earth. There are certain word choices that I particularly like the use of the word your, you know, wonderful lines where it says now, where is it? The wild gusts of yore that filled sails, moved dense wooden ships across oceans, now seem weak, diminished. Wood is being used faster than ever before. And that is so true, you know, and especially when it comes to the you know, supply and demand. And, you know, there are, you know, there are companies that do their best to try to replace the trees that they use. I will acknowledge that. I know up here, you know, some of our most conservation. Some of the most conservationally minded people are the ones who work in the wood cutting industry, but there are those huge wounds inflicted, and that's another popular line: huge wounds are being inflicted on our earth, but mankind will not heed the warning signs. Great lines all the way through, and very well done, Kate.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind of you. And Miriam, your thoughts, please.
Well, I will try to put my thoughts into the poem itself, because if I start talking about ecology, but the poem itself is so tragic. It just almost makes me weep. It's very, very beautifully worded, but the ideas behind it are so tragic. And there is a little bit of hope at the end. It's expressed as a question. Have we cut and mutilated our wondrous world so much that there are no longer trees enough to breathe in as we breathe out? And it's a warning, but being phrased as a question, it's also a plea for all of us to do what we can to ensure that we do not destroy nature.
Thank you. Yes, I kind of agree with that. That I have a real affinity to nature, and as you know, I'm a tree hugger, it breaks my heart. It really breaks my heart to see what's being done, because trees take so long to grow, and they are vital to. I wasn't very sure if I'd got it the right way around. I should have perhaps looked it up. To breathe in as we breathe out. It might mean to breathe out as we breathe in, but you know what I mean. I'm sure you do. I do feel very sad. This is my philosophy. I'm glad I'm old, because I won't be here much longer, because it's just horrible. It's getting so horrible, and everybody's suffering, and I don't like that. So, we shall.
I'll just to add just one thing about the foresting is there are many people now who are concentrating on harvesting specific trees from the rainforest or whatever. As clear cutting is so destructive, as you mentioned, the problem takes so long for the trees to grow. And the other problem is when trees are replanted, they're just planting one kind of tree in the whole area that they have destroyed. So it makes me weep.
Yes. It is. It's again, it's money, isn't it? It's just money. That's the whole problem. Money is power. And that's the sad thing about our world. We've now started to worship money more than anything else. Yep. Yes. So thank you for your comments. You're being very kind. I appreciate it. And the next up we have is To Kiss the Sky by Blue Harrison. Now, if either of you have anything you'd like to throw on the board in the next few minutes, because this is our last one. I hadn't realized we'd gone so fast. Boy, we were quick today.
Did actually just let you know, Kate, I did put something on the board.
Excellent. Thank you. I'll refresh and I'll find it. Thank you very much. So now we have To Kiss the Sky by Blue Harrison. And Pam, would you like to read this for us, please?
I would be happy to. All right. Where did it go, my wide sweep of blue, unobstructed reach, all withered neath a touch, densely cold, and those carefully set roots seemed something to regret. I remember feeling the focus of stars' mirth, and in the let-go, you caught me traced orexis, round limbs, scarred center, fed me matins till I was acclimated, able to stretch and reach, eat from your fingers earth. Be reborn, woman in celadon crown, a fire to kiss the sky and ripen once again. End poem.
Oh, thank you. That was beautifully read. Oh, lovely. And Miriam, your thoughts, please.
Put me off one, please. I'm busy here.
No problem at all. Right, so here we have To Kiss the Sky. Yes, this. Sorry, I'm just having a look at what I've reborn. Yeah, that last stanza. Be reborn, woman in celadon crown, a fire to kiss the sky and ripen once again. Yeah, this is very deep. I find this there's a lot of what might have been in this. Perhaps is what I'm looking. Seems something to regret. So yes, this is a person who perhaps did not get what they expected to. Perhaps yes. I would have to read this over and over, I think, because it's very deep for me. I love things that make me think, but I do have to have a minute to think. So, Pam, your thoughts, please.
Oh, I thought this was absolutely wonderful. I'm glad Lou Harrison was inspired. And with her love of the color blue, I can see how she was attracted to this picture with the sky and the trees. You know, creative and strong imagery and metaphors, it definitely offers up plenty of food for thought. And I see the idea of a woman whose spirit was crushed, who was this free and curious spirit that really became crushed and controlled. And I really like this all the way through, but especially I remember feeling the focus of Star's mirth. And in the let go, you caught me, traced Orex's round limbs, scarred center, fed me matins till I was acclimated, able to stretch and reach, eat from your fingers, earth, be reborn, woman in Celadon crown. I really like be reborn, woman in Celadon crown, because it speaks of almost the idea of rising out of the ashes and finding that queenly and feminine energy that you once owned and getting it back. You know, so powerful lines and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Yes, I can see it now. I love when you comment on poetry because it really helps me. I'm learning every day. Great fun. And Miriam, your thoughts, please.
I enjoy the unusual use of words and phrases in this poem. Sometimes I get irritated by people using a word in an unusual way or making up a new word, but I do it myself all the time, and I appreciate it when it's done well. I'm getting more liberal.
Yeah.
Really, like, in the let go, you caught me. It's beautiful and unusual, and let go is not usually a noun, but here it's a noun, and it works well. And so what was the other thing? Well, there are a number of similar things in this, and I also really enjoy the Celadon crown. It's a Celadon is a stone that I semi-precious stone that I enjoy. As I recall it, it comes in a variety of colors, as many many stones do. If you think of the blue diamond, the Hope diamond is blue, not clear. So it's similar with the Celadon. And the idea of making that into a crown, well, I think it would be uncomfortable because it would be heavy, but it's a beautiful image.
Yes, thank you. I agree. I've just been reading the board, and I see that I did say to you that there were two different boards. So give me a moment, if you would. I've got yours here to read, Pam, if you would read it. It's Stethno by Pam Ray. Could you read that one for us, please?
I would be happy to. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to put Miriam's right on the topic board in Brevity Writers so that, you know, you can also get to hers. And
thank you.
There we go. You'll just have to refresh. And,
thank you very much.
Yep, you're welcome. And this is Stetho, and it is a triolet. She wears a venomous crimson crown and is guided by a murderous rage, wrapped in a blood and leather gown. She wears a venomous crimson crown while methodically she hunts men down. She rips their flesh throughout their cage. She wears a venomous crimson crown and is guided by a murderous rage. End poem. And I know Kate's busy, so I'll just ask you your thoughts, Miriam.
Well, this sounds like somebody I would like to stay away from. You did say she was murderous toward men, so in that regard, I'm fairly safe. But, very, very dangerous, and so beautifully stated and beautifully read. But gorgeous imagery. Dangerous, gorgeous imagery.
Thank you. And, Stefano was the one of the three Gorgons in Greek mythology. She was one of the two sisters of the most infamous Gorgon, Medusa. And she was actually said to be the most dangerous out of the three Gorgons when it comes to the mythology about them. She was the one that was claimed killed the most men. And so that's why I had that line there. And that's, I chose to write about her because, you know, I'd written about Medusa before, and I thought, well, you know what? Why not go with one of her sisters? So,
right.
Excellent. Well done. Right. I've got a couple more that we didn't have on the board, so this is good. Just bear with me. I'm going down, 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 and the flames go higher. Okay, we have. Did I do that out loud? I didn't sing out loud. No. Oh my goodness! I do apologize, people. It gets scary down here.
Okay, he didn't write it.
Oh dear. So I've got. Hang on. Where is it? Oh, thank goodness me. Okay, I have one by, yes, I have one here. I have one by Nuno that we haven't actually had. So we shall put that one up, and I'll send it now. And Miriam, would you like to, once you've got it, would you like to read that for us, please?
I'm looking.
All right, well, just give me a couple seconds here and to get it into Late Night Poets. And there we go. Only I Remain by Nuno Cardozo.
Thank you, my dear.
There it is. Only I remain. Thumb cocked, index finger pointing. The rest are the bullets. Pow, pow. Two dead. One bullet left in the chamber. End poem.
Oh, wow. I like that one so much. And Pam, your thoughts, please.
Yes, well, first of all, wonderful read there, Miriam. This is a powerful write. It's amazing how much can be said, with just a few words. I like how he says, index finger pointing, the rest are the bullets, pow, pow. I feel like it speaks on the way that accusations hurt. Between the poem itself and the photograph, speaks on the idea that when you have one finger pointing accusingly at someone else, there's three fingers or three gun barrels pointing back at yourself. So powerful lines and very well done.
Yes, I agree. Wow. And Miriam, your thoughts?
Well, I was amazed by how much power is put into those seven lines. My my gun control poem is one of the longest, if not the longest, poem I've ever written. And here he says it in so few words. And the other thing that seems so unusual to me is that it's told from the perspective of the person doing the shooting. I find that very, very new. And the power, I mean, of course, he's doing it with his hand, but in his imagination, which can so easily be translated to the real world, he's thinking of killing other people, and then what happens left next? One bullet left in the chamber, and we know what's going to happen next. And then nobody will know why.
Very true. I like that. Well done. Well thought out. Yes. It does seem as if it's obvious what's going to happen next, doesn't it? But we're left to ponder. We're left to think. We're left, and I like that. Nothing is obvious. It's left open-ended. And I love the thought. I mean, we all do it, don't we, with our thumb and our finger pointing at somebody, or, you know, that we... And we would never do it, but it gives that release, you know, a boom, you're gone. Boom, you're gone. So, yes, I thought it was beautifully written. I really enjoyed it. Pam, have I asked you already?
Yes, you did.
See, I thought my system was working, and it let me down at the last minute. I'm so embarrassed. Now, do we have time for another, do you think, or would it be too much of a rush?
We can do one more.
Okie dokie. I like it. I'll do just that very thing. No, I don't want it in private message. Don't be so silly. Here we have. We have Free by Darkened Aura. I hope we haven't already had this one, have we? No. Surely not. Oh, good. I did it right. Okay. I will read this one. Okay. There's something just below the surface, a swirling cosmos of energy, begging to be released from its stone confines, can ripple outward. It is crumbling the once solid ground. Can you hear its echoes? They reverberate from the point of impact, saying, soon we'll be free. Hold it close, close your eyes, and whisper back the same. Feel its power surround you like a shield. Free your spirit. End poem. And Miriam, your thoughts, please.
Need a moment, please.
Of course, no problem. Pam, your thoughts, please.
Oh, I like this. I like the photograph of the stone, and I like how DA connects with the spirituality of the earth and the stones. And I particularly like the cracks break and ripple outward. It is crumbling the once solid ground. Can you hear its echoes? They reverberate from the point of impact, saying, soon we'll be free. You know, and those end lines, of course, free your spirit. Wonderful lines on the idea of freedom found within the spirituality of earth and the movement of earth. You know, very well done.
I agree. That picture is absolutely beautiful. And I kind of got sort of otherworldly. You know, my mind always goes to the spooky and the spiritual and the creepy. And I'm thinking there's something below the surface, a swelling cosmos of energy. And it's getting out. It's going to be free. Is this good or bad? But then we feel the powers around you like a shield. Free your spirit. That made me feel better. I thought, this is a good energy. We're okay here. But I thought it was a wonderful write. I really did. That picture alone just gives you that the interest in it. The colors are gorgeous. And then we have, can you hear its echoes? Yeah, I thought it was beautifully. It just made me feel as if it was something that I really was pleased to read, because it just gave me a feeling of otherworldliness, which I really enjoy. And yes, you probably didn't mean it that way, Darkened Auras, but you know me. My mind goes in watch in mysterious ways, I'm afraid. So yes, I loved it. I thought it was great, a wonderful way to end the show. And Miriam, your thoughts, please.
To start with the photograph, it looks to me like a hunk of petrified wood with minerals of bright colors caught within the tree rings. And the poet has translated that to a swirling cosmos of energy begging to be released from its stone confines. And it talks about the cracks. And it's just, the poet has personified the glowing minerals within that ossified wood, and I find that just really beautiful. And then from that image goes to the psychological, the relationship. It enters into relationship and how, you know, encouraging us to free our spirits with the feeling the power of her image, really. It's the power of the image she's seeing in that word.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Great comment, Miriam. Are
Hello.
You on mute, Kate?
Yes, I was. I just said a whole spiel, and I'm so glad you didn't hear it because it was rubbish. So thank you very much. Oh, wow. Thank you, Pam. I didn't realize I was on mute. I haven't done that for a while. So that is us, my ladies. Thank you so much to both of you. You've been wonderful. You've helped me so much get through this because I can make so many mistakes. Pam, you're wonderful. You must be with me always. Miriam, it's been a delight to hear you tonight. Your insight has been wonderful. I've really enjoyed it. I could listen to you for an age. So thank you for joining us. And that's it, ladies. Shall we say goodbye?